You know, the last time I spoke, I made a comment, and that comment stuck with me for quite a while. I started really thinking about it, and it bugged me. It bugged me. So I started doing a little bit of studying. I prayed about it because. And let's turn over to our first scripture as we begin here today. And let's turn over to the book of James and start off in James 1. And you may notice I don't have a Bible in my hand. I do have all my scriptures in my notes, which is a good thing. And I also have my phone because I'm going to actually refer to an online translation of the Bible as well. One that I've heard other ministers or heard ministers quote from. Give me just a second here. In James 1, the comment I made was taken out of James 1. In James 1, and I'm going to just simply read verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Well, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And the comment I made is, wow, how are we expected to do this? I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a strong trial, heavy trial, really it's difficult to find joy. Sometimes the joy doesn't necessarily come during the trial, but it will come. It will come. We're told it will come. We all have the ability or the power within us to change a situation, that may be a bad situation into a good situation. Now, this all depends on the attitude we all have. And as God's people, we need to have a good attitude. And we're going to go through how we change a bad situation from bad to good as we go through this message. The title of the message today is Serving in a Christ-like Manner. Serving in a Christ-like Manner. Now, there are other ways to serve. Sometimes you can serve to kind of be recognized. Well, look what I did. Look what I did. Look how good I am. Look what I did for this person. And you serve in a unworthy manner. But to serve in a Christ-like manner is to lift the person you're serving up higher, to encourage and strengthen that person or those people, to be examples. Now, if we're serving to lift ourselves up, we're serving in the wrong way. And we're going to talk about serving in a Christ-like manner, humbling ourselves and doing it the right way. I want to read a scripture. And again, I'm going to let you turn to the scripture, and I will read it out of my notes because it's got a bigger font anyway. Galatians 5. Let's turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, and we're going to start reading in verse 13. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there's a but that goes after that. And in verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So if we are contentious with one another, if we've got the wrong attitude and we bite one another, we're against one another, it's going to consume us, and we're going to consume each other, and we won't make it into the kingdom. Now, as I was putting this message together, I was looking for a couple of different reference pieces that fit into the message, and the first place I look is on the church's website, and in the booklet, This is the United Church of God. This is a portrait, if you will, or, you know, a short description of who we are supposed to be, what we represent, and who we are supposed to be representing. So in the booklet, I'd like to read just a little bit from it. This is the United Church of God, and you can find this in chapter 2, entitled Preparing a People. The church Jesus built is commissioned not only to feed his sheep as he commanded, but to prepare these followers for greater works of service to God, their families, their communities, and their fellow men. God placed great emphasis on serving others. And we're going to read Matthew 20, and we're going to read Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. However, it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be chief among you, let him be your servant. And in verse 27, in verse 28, even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Now, when we stop and look at that, we're not here to raise ourselves up. We're here to serve each other and to raise them up, lift them up. Continuing, the two most important aspects of the mission of the United Church of God are preaching the gospel and preparing a people, both mandated by Jesus Christ. The two go hand in hand. The church's overall mission extends well beyond the initial responsibility of preaching the gospel and making new disciples, as Jesus commanded in Matthew 28 and in verse 19. As verse 20 explains, the church must also teach these disciples, or students, if you will, to observe all things Jesus commanded, even to the end of the age. Indeed, the church of God is to be a continuing source of spiritual nurturing for those God has called into his family. Now, there are many ways to serve, and one of the most basic ways to serve each other is obviously to pray. There's no one in this room, or no one listening in on the webcast right now, no one that can hear this message that can't pray. And that is the most basic, most fundamental way to serve one another. And when we do that, when we approach God, we know that the prayers of a righteous man avail much. Now, I also want to read from another source. And this source is actually 10 years old, but it's extremely relevant today. And the source comes from the October-December 2004, so it's 10 years ago, Vertical Thought magazine. You hear a lot of excuses of, I can't serve, I'm too young, I'm too old, my back hurts, my hip hurts, my legs hurt. Life is very, very stressful. Things just aren't going well. I'll serve when things get better. But one of the areas that is really common is, I'm too young to serve. I think if we look out on the duty roster, we see the young folks' names on it, we can see that there's no excuse. There's no excuse. And the title of the article in the Vertical Thought magazine is, You're Never Too Young to Serve. And this kind of applies to all of us. You're never too old to serve. You're never too young to serve. You're never too stressed to serve. All of us have that obligation, that mandate from God, that we will serve each other. So beginning in the article, you're too young. Most teens hear these words quite often. You're too young to drive. You're too young to drink. You're too young to have a job. Interject your name. But there's one thing that a young person is never too young to do, and that's serve. Jesus Christ said that he came so his followers of all ages, doesn't exempt anyone based on, he's only 10 years old, so he can't serve. That's wrong. If you're following Christ's example, if you're doing what Christ did when he was here, and we're doing what we should be doing, you're serving one another. We are serving one another. And let me read that again. Jesus Christ said he came so that his followers of all ages may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. In John 10:10, Christ's followers are to live a full and abundant life. Does serving have anything to do with this abundant life? I think we all know the answer to that is a resounding yes. Love equals service to others. And that's in the article. Love equals service to others. That's what we do when we show that agape love that we've heard so much about. the example that Christ set forth. The key to understanding how to live the abundant life is knowing the two great commandments. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And you can find that in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. These two laws, which sum up God's Ten Commandments, are the backbone of true Christian living. So, service, to serve one another, to love one another. And if we love one another, we're not being contentious, we're not being arrogant, we're not being self-righteous. We're humbling ourselves, and we're serving one another, not to be recognized, but to help raise others up. Now, continuing in the vertical thought article, but how do these laws transfer into an abundant life? The basic answer is that God's laws equal love. Love, in turn, means that we are focusing on others more than ourselves. When we start looking at the issues we've got in our life, the situations, the trials we have in our life, we are neglecting sometimes, and it's human nature, serving one another. The way that we can find joy in the tests, find joy in the trials that we go through, is to not focus on them, but to focus on others and to serve our brethren. No matter what situation we happen to be in, if we focus on the needs of others before ourselves, we're no longer focusing. And it's amazing what happens. Those serious trials that we're going through seem to shrink. They seem to fade. And suddenly we're more interested or more focused on the needs of others around us. It becomes habitual. It becomes habit forming. To do this, and this is continuing in the article, to do this, we must have the heart of a servant, focusing on raising others to their highest potential and making life easier and more pleasant for them. Not us, for them. Raising them higher than us. And it's humility and love that allows us to do that. This way of living has been described as the way of give versus the way of get. God created us and knows that His way will truly make us happy and fulfilled now, and will have never-ending rewards in the future. Now, I want to pause right there. I want to share a story, something that happened to our family when we went to the feast this last year in Branson, Missouri. And I started off by saying, we can change or turn a bad situation into a good situation. We can find joy in the tests or the trials that we happen to encounter. Our family, on one evening when we were in Branson, went to a very nice Italian restaurant. Highly recommended. So we're anticipating, as we walk in, the three of us, that we're going to have a great meal, that things are just, you know, this is going to be a great meal, we're going to get great service. You know, this is the feast, obviously. Well, when we walked in, we noticed that there were two tour bus, you know, people getting on. And we walked in, and finally we were seated, and we sat down, and, you know, kind of human nature took over. Service was extremely, extremely slow. How would a lot of people react? Oh, come on. You know, you start off with pretty bad attitude yourself. And we watched the server that happens to be working the station where we were sitting. And the people that were sitting around us, everybody had this bad look on their face. Would she at least come and give us a menu or give us a glass of water or something? And this server was, you could tell she was frazzled. And truthfully, I've got to admit, I had a bad attitude going into this. But my family and I, we discussed it, and we said, you know what? We've got a goal. We want to make this lady smile before we leave. We want to make this lady smile. We want to change her whole attitude. What happened next was just absolutely remarkable. And I will say for my family, this was the most memorable meal we've ever had in our lives. It was awesome. We had understanding. We watched what she was going through. Even though she spilt glasses of water and just was having a terrible time, others were, I want to see the manager. But we were, oh, we've got plenty of time. you know, you're doing a great job under the situation. And we just kept smiling at her. Well, as our dinner progressed, we started noticing and looking around us those that were in that same station that could hear what was going on and kind of saw the smiles on our faces, they relaxed. They relaxed. They started smiling too. And everybody was very understanding. Before we left that restaurant that evening and paid our bill, the waitress walked up to us, or the server walked up to us, and said, "You made my entire day. You guys made my entire day. This is why I do what I do. You were so kind, you were so understanding, you were so pleasant, that just made my night." Wow. We walked out, we were exhilarated. But when we walked in, we were frustrated. This is how each and every one of us, just a short example of how we can change a bad situation, very stressful situation for the server, into a really good situation where she had a good evening, she went home feeling good, and we went back to our room and we felt great. It's amazing what takes place. Got to pick up where I was in the notes. Let's turn over real quick, and this is actually where I want to look at several different versions or several different translations. Not several, but two. Let's turn over to Galatians 6. Turn over to Galatians 6. Because there is something that happens to all of us. And it's just human nature, I guess. And we've got to fight human nature with spirit, with God's spirit, with prayer. In Galatians 6, in verse 9, "Let us not be weary in doing well. For in due season we shall reap if we do not faint, if we faint not." Verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to them who are in the household of faith." Now, I want to read that same set of scriptures from a translation. It's only online. They don't print this version, called God's Word. And I have heard a couple of ministers refer to this translation before. It does say things in a different way, and it makes it a little more understandable. So reading that same out of the God's Word, "We cannot allow ourselves to get tired of living the right way, doing the things that God and Jesus Christ tell us we should do, by living that example, by serving like Christ would serve, in a Christ-like manner." And in verse 10 in that same translation, "Whenever we have the opportunity, we have to do what is good for everyone." What is good for everyone? Now, you know, I compared the James 2 scripture to loving your enemies. You know, it ranks right up there. This is difficult. This is difficult. How do we find joy, or count it all joy, when we fall into various tests or trials? The way we do this is focusing not on our issues, but on the issues and the needs of others. This was an example set down by Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Some of the things we need to be focusing on in serving in a Christ-like manner. These are the attitudes that we need to kind of, you know, take to heart, and we need to make part of who we are as God's people. Matthew 5. Pardon me. Matthew 5, and I'm going to start reading in verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful." Now, when we're being merciful to someone else, are we serving someone else? Are we being an example? "Blessed are the pure of heart," in verse 8, "for they shall see God." We've heard about this recently. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Peacemakers, peacemakers. Those that can diffuse a situation, turn a bad situation into a good situation. The peacemakers. Those that can go in and put a smile on somebody's face when they're having the worst day of their life. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now I want to continue in that vertical thought article. A Christian's main area of concern should be serving within the church. You know, this is our focus group. This is our focus group. It's each other. And again, the basic way of serving one another is to be an example for one, but to pray. No one has an excuse when it comes to prayer. When we have combined services here, I've seen it where everyone pitches in and wow, this place just transforms into a meeting hall that accommodates everyone real quick because we all bend over and we do our job. Though it is commendable to get involved with serving in the world in various ways, our energy should first be focused on helping with serving those whom God has called to be the first fruit of this age. Christ tells us that Christians will be judged on how they serve. You know, listen to this again. Christ tells us that Christians will be judged on how they serve him or his brethren. And you can find that in Matthew 25:40. And kings shall answer and say to them, truly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done to one of the least of these my brothers, you have done it to me. And this comes from Christ. So we are showing our example and being an example to everyone the way we serve each other. And we've all had the experience where we've gone to the feast as a group, a large group, or wherever it may be. And people within that town, wow, you people are so different. You people are so different. That's the example that we're here to show. We're here to shine a light. You know, there's other ways, other things we've got to think about, because when it comes to serving, there's also another side to that. And that's the side of being served, to being served. And we've also got to, we need to allow ourselves to be served in a Christ-like manner as well. There are several examples where others were serving Christ. They were attending to Christ's needs, and Christ allowed that to happen. But let's turn over as we begin to wrap up here. Let's turn over to John 13. As we approach Passover, it's extremely important for all of us to reflect back on the year we've had. Yes, have we grown? But also we need to look forward, and we need to look at the example of service that Christ left each and every one of us. Christ left us an amazing example. In John 13, this is very apropos for the upcoming Passover. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 4. John 13 and verse 4. He rose up from supper and laid aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself. After he poured water into a basin and began to... turn my page. Wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter. So Christ here is giving us an example where he's washing the disciples' feet. He is humbling himself. He was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He was to them the teacher, the master. And he is humbling himself, getting on his knees, and washing their feet. And in verse 6, he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, You do not know what I do, but you shall hereafter. Verse 8, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. You shall never serve me. We've got to remember that when it comes to serving, there's also the other side, which is being served. We've got to allow ourselves, especially as we enter into this Passover season, we have to humble ourselves to be served in many, many cases. You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, unless I wash your feet, you have no place with me. Peter gets it here, verse 9. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus wasn't going to give him a bath. He wanted to show what was needed at this point in time. Don't go overboard with receiving service. Don't go overboard with this. There's a limit to it. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed has no need except to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. Now, we'll go ahead and stop there and drop down to verse 15. In verse 15, For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He's given us an example of service, humility, and serving in a Christ-like manner. This isn't putting yourself, raising yourself high. This isn't being recognized for all we do. This is doing what we need to do to emulate Christ. Now, I also want to read from another Vertical Thought article, and this one's a lot more recent. This is October 2013. What does Jesus want from you is what the article is entitled. Service to others. The reason Jesus came in the flesh was for the benefit of others, so human beings could have their sins forgiven through the sacrifice of his perfect life. Jesus drew attention to that fact when the disciples began to worry about who is going to be getting the highest position of honor in the kingdom. He told them that if they really wanted to be great, they should, serve others, just as he came not to be served, but to serve humanity by giving his life for all. And you can read that in Mark 10, verses 42 through 45. You know, again, we don't serve others, and we don't serve, I mean, when I say others, I'm not talking about just the people here. People in the world. You know, we all can make excuses why we don't contribute to our community, why we don't serve in different ways. Well, you know, that's a Christian church, a worldly Christian church that's doing this, feeding, doing these different homeless shelters and what have you. It's an excuse. God doesn't tell us. Jesus Christ didn't leave us an example that we should exempt serving humanity, serving our communities, because they're not of the faith of God. Well, wait a minute. The faith of God and the church, as we all know, is a very small group of people. If we were only going to serve those within, we're missing the point. We're truly missing the point. And continuing there, this lesson was not lost on Paul either, as he told the churches of Galatia that they needed to express their love by serving others. And again, I started off by reading Galatians 15:13. You can find that there. What does Jesus want from you? For you to see every opportunity to do good for others, to serve them. He tells us that if we do something good to the least of our fellow Christians, it is though we have done it to him personally. Now, I started this message. This message began by showing how we as God's people can turn a bad situation into a good situation. How we can change a frown into a smile. And it's all the way we approach a situation. This is known as serving in a Christ-like way. By defusing a situation, by not being pumped up, arrogant, angry at a situation, it's so easy to go into a restaurant, go into a grocery store where you're not getting the kind of service you expect. Well, are we thinking of the other side of the story? What's that person going through? What's that person going through? Did they just lose a loved one? Did they just lose their job for, you know, what is the situation in their lives that's causing this? Are we considering what's happening with them? Or are we just kind of exacerbating the situation and becoming angry ourselves? How are we handling these situations? That's an act of service. That's reflecting the light that God has given us to reflect. So, brethren, as we get closer to Passover and as we enter into the Passover season, I hope we all consider, are we serving in a Christ-like manner? Are we doing the things that God and Jesus Christ command of us? Not suggest, but command of us? Are we doing these things on a daily basis? When we reflect back at this last year we've had, are we growing in that loving attitude, that loving heart? Are we growing in the Spirit, wisdom? Now, we should have the wisdom and the ability to discern, you know, is the situation something we need to walk away from or something that we can turn into a good situation? We should have that ability as God's people. We need to exercise that ability. So, brethren, hopefully this message has meant something to you. I know it meant something to me as I went through and really looked at, you know, how do we find joy in our trials, in our tests? Well, we focus on the needs of others, and it takes the focus off of our situation. Have a wonderful Sabbath.